One of the stranger stories to come out of the post-Taliban Afghanistan is that of American Jack Adema. You may recall last September an Afghan court convicted Adema, a former Special Forces sergeant and two other Americans, of running a vigilante prison. The three rounded up supposed Afghan terrorists and imprisoned them in a two-story house in Kabul. If that crime is bizarre, the trial proved Adema was flamboyant enough to live up to it. Journalist Peter Bergen recently visited Jack Adema and his cohorts at the Afghan prison they now call home. His article is about that encounter. The Shadow Warrior appears in the current edition of Rolling Stone magazine. If you have questions about Jack Adema, give us a call at 800-989-8255, TOTN at NPR.org. Peter Bergen, welcome.
Thank you.
This is an amazing story. This is a guy who's gone from running a private prison to, as I say, spending some time in a publicly funded prison.
He's
the guest of the state.
Yeah, Jack Adema is quite a character. A former U.S. Special Forces sergeant who appointed himself on a mission to hunt down terrorists in Afghanistan after 9/11, a New Yorker who was very affected by the 9/11 attacks. He's one of these people that people either love or hate, but there's very little in between. And I think, however, that there's been a sort of a miscarriage of justice in his case. The claims that he didn't have any connections to the U.S. government or the Afghan government, based on my investigation, seems to be false. He did have some dealings with the U.S. government. People in the Pentagon were generally aware of what he was doing. Afghan officials were also aware of what he was doing.
Yeah, it's an incredible story, really, because how this guy even got into Special Forces, given what at least one trainer said about him along the way when he tried to make his way into the military. He said, this is the worst recruit and the most immature guy I've ever seen. And
yes, he's a... You know, he's got a conviction on a fraud charge. He spent 4 years in federal prison. He's got multiple arrests for various things. So, you know, Jack has had a very checkered past, and you couldn't make up what has happened to him now. Polochanki Prison, where he and his two colleagues are, Brent Bennett and Ed Carabeo, is you wouldn't wish this on your worst enemies. I spent 5 days there. That was plenty. It's the equivalent of Leavenworth of Afghanistan. It's a lot of Taliban, members of Al-Qaeda are in there. In fact, there was a prison riot in December where four of the Al-Qaeda-linked prisoners tried to kill the American prisoners and ended up killing four prison guards. So it's a dangerous place. It's an unpleasant place. They are serving some pretty hard time there.
And here's a guy who actually had retired. He was out of the service. And after 9/11, he decides he's got to go do something. So he puts on somebody's uniform and runs off to Afghanistan.
Yes. Well, he set up his own Task Force Sabre 7, he called it, and he outfitted them with kind of quasi-American military uniforms. He did seem to have some success in arresting people planning bombings in Kabul and planning to assassinate Afghan cabinet officials. The big problem is he didn't have written authorization from the U.S. government or from the Afghan government, although he operated with maybe, you know, there was sort of a nod and a wink kind of thing. They were aware of what he was doing.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stacio in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. My guest is Peter Bergen. His article, The Shadow Warrior, appears in the latest issue of Rolling Stone magazine. It's about Jack Adema, who ran his own prison for a while. Let's get into his relationship with the military. A wink and a nod. He's running around the country in some kind of quasi-military outfits, and he's conducting operations, and they know about it.
Yeah, I mean, the larger picture here is, you know, there are now more American civilian contractors in Iraq than there are British troops. Kind of an astonishing statement if you think about it. Britain is our biggest ally in Iraq, yet there are more American civilian military contractors. So this is a new phenomenon. We're increasingly privatizing things that the armed forces would have done, whether that's interrogating Al-Qaeda members or guarding senior figures like Hamid Karzai, the president of Afghanistan. And, you know, Adema operated in this kind of shadow world between the civilian and the military. He was in contact with the Pentagon. He did have senior level contacts in the Afghan government. He did not have a contract from either government to do what he was doing, and he kind of sort of fell between the cracks.
How do you start a prison in Kabul? I mean, I know it's a fairly lawless place, but yeah.
Well, he bought a house and he set it up, and he had a number of helpers, some of whom, by the way, were Afghan government employees, further evidence that the government was aware of what he was doing. And, you know, he imprisoned people. The Afghan government has claimed that he was torturing his prisoners. He denies that. The trial that he and his two colleagues were subjected to in the summer of 2004 was was a farce. I think you can say that politely. It was, I say in the piece, it was like a Gilbert and Sullivan operetta directed by Woody Allen. I mean, it was like, no one really understood what was going on. This was not due process.
Yeah. Well, and it didn't sound like there was much due process getting into his prison either.
Well, that's also true. I mean, he was arresting people based on, you know, information that he was getting. I think that some of the operations he was doing
had information. I mean, he had real good inside information, to suggest.
Yes, some of it was wrong. I mean, I found, yeah. He claimed that he found where bin Laden was living in Peshawar, Pakistan. I checked that out. It didn't check out. On the other hand, on three occasions, independent authorities found explosives in places that Jack said there would be explosives. Afghan cabinet officials have said that they think that he was protecting them from assassination. So, you know, he was doing something right.
The problem was he then went out and arrested an Afghan justice.
Yeah, he arrested an Afghan Supreme Court judge. You can't make this stuff up. This would be like, imagine if a group of Afghans came to Washington, D.C. and arrested like Justice Scalia or Rehnquist, and held him for 12 days. Well, that's what they did. And this is when Jack's sort of private operation became rather public, because people notice when an Afghan Supreme Court justice doesn't show up for work. And that blew the cover off his operation and led to him now. He was sentenced to 10 years. His colleague Brent Bennett was sentenced to 10 years. And Ed Carabeo, who, by the way, is, in my view, a blameless journalist who was just documenting what Jack was doing, was sentenced to 8 years. That's an astonishing sentence for a journalist.
But he'd been with him on a number of adventures.
Well, he'd had links with Jack in the past. But, you know, nonetheless, he was making a documentary. And there was never any allegation at trial, by the way, that he did anything other than simply document Jack's activities. The Committee to Protect Journalists, the New York-based organization that's supposed to protest these things, has done absolutely nothing in Ed Carabeo's case.
Now, when he went in to arrest this judge, he had help. He's got helicopter support. How does he get all this?
Well, you know, the International Security Assistance Force, which is the main security force in Kabul, I came in on three occasions to arrest people with Jack, and they brought in helicopters on one occasion and bomb sniffing dogs and all this. They say they were sort of duped by Jack. Jack seemed to have duped a lot of people, if you look at it one way, or alternatively, if you look at another way, a lot of people kind of knew what he was doing.
Well, you spoke with the man. Is it easy to be fooled by him? Is he a beguiling figure, or does he come across as somebody who you ought to be careful of?
Well, look, it's just a fact that Jack spent 4 years in a federal prison on fraud charges. He says that they were trumped up. A jury found something different. So you can draw your own conclusions from that. I think Jack is he's a charismatic guy. People either absolutely hate him with a passion. It's like the opposite of a love affair. They have a sort of hate affair with Jack. Or they think that he's a super patriot and that he's doing the right thing. I mean, maintaining some kind of neutrality about Jack is not easy, and I try to do that in the article, and I try to make it as fair as possible to everybody in it. I think Jack is a very intense guy.
Well, we can find out more about it, Peter. Thank you very much for being with us. Peter Bergen is author of Holy War, Inc. His article, Shadow Warrior, appears in the latest issue of Rolling Stone magazine. Joins us in 3A. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stacio.